Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-52 Underhill Properties LLC.
An application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 104.79 acres into 139 lots under the cluster development concept, being located east of Road 279, 515 feet southeast of Road 289. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he's received any additional comments in relationship to this application.
Now, Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Lang stated, the TAC committee reviewed this application on December 21st of 2005. That report will be made a part of the record for this application. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. Each of you received a copy of that. That will be made a part of the record. And we received a copy of the proposed restrictive covenants, and they were also sent to Mr. Robertson, and that's all we've received to date.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney with the firm of Wilson, Halbrook, and Byard, and I represent the applicant. The owners of the property are Marsh Island Developers, LLC, and the developers will be Underhill Properties, LLC. I have with me this evening Mr. Mike Daniels, gentleman sitting to my right, who is a representative of both organizations. To my immediate left, attempting to assemble his audiovisual displays, is Mr. Tom Ford, who you know from Land Design. This project is located adjacent to Love Creek and is currently known as the Marsh Island Golf Course. The total acreage of the project is 104.79 acres, and it's currently zoned agricultural residential. The proposal that we will share with you this evening is to reclassify the property as AR1 cluster subdivision, which, through the application of the various ordinances involved, would allow for this property to be developed at 139 lots, which gives us a density of 1.33 units per acre, which, given the current climate of zoning applications, I think is dramatically low, in my opinion. There will be 66.99 acres of open space. The property is currently designated environmentally sensitive development area and is level 3 in the state strategies. As Shane has told you, the application was filed on August 4th, 2005, and we have submitted to the commission for your review and consideration a book of exhibits that includes not only a project overview and the application, but various development reports, such as the development report prepared by Mr. Ford, compliance with zoning and subdivision ordinances, references to the studies correspondence from permitting agencies such as PLUS, and the response of our client to the PLUS comments. There also are soils maps, stormwater concept plans, traffic and site circulation designs, including typical street sections. There will be a tab number 8 that tells you what the amenities are that will be available on this site. There are utility providers that are currently available to this particular project, and I would add to that there also are emergency services providers to the Delaware State Police, and fire and ambulance would be through the Lewis and Rehoboth Volunteer Fire Company, which is the combined fire company that's located near this project. Mr. Robertson has informed you that we have previously submitted covenants and conditions, which should be fairly recognizable as those that we typically submit on behalf of our clients that provide for the perpetual maintenance of all of the open space and amenities and common areas within the project and provide for architectural standards and the formation of an owner's association. Lastly, there is a tab 11, which is identified as subdivision extension, and that's simply there to inform you that there has been, since we made this application in August of 2005, an opportunity to acquire adjacent land by purchase that could be folded into this particular project, and after debating whether or not to bring it in or not to bring it in, we decided to inform you of it, but not make it a part of this application at a late date, so that we can bring it back later on and ask for the application to be amended, assuming that it is agreed upon by you gentlemen. I'd like to further inform you that there will be a presentation by my friend Mr. Ford. I think he's got everything set up now. And Mr. Ford will describe for you how this particular project as a cluster has been designed and how it will meet the design criteria set forth in Chapter 115 of the code. And I'll introduce Mr. Ford.
Tom Ford, Land Design. You can rap on the table if I get too wordy, Bob, on this. If I may, if I can, as long as I can be heard, and I guess picked up by your speaker, I'd like to start with the aerial here. This is Love Creek. We have Route 24, and we have similar type of developments between Hart's Landing, some trailer parks. We have the boat hole and some business enterprises here. We have Love Creek Woods, Fox Hollow, Bay Ridge Woods, Bay Oaks, and a variety of smaller subdivisions within the area, as well as a good working farmland area that's adjacent to the property. Presently, it is a golf course. It has been fully developed. It's developed to fairly current standards, because the golf course was built in the late 90s and still had to go under the stormwater management reviews, and still has benching and so forth and all the ponds. And part of our exercise or challenge here was, because of the uniqueness of the golf course, was to sort of maintain some of the good land features that are starting to mature and utilize them in the open space. What I'd like to do is, in your booklet, under tab 2, excuse me, tab 1, about 5 pages in, is walk you through a what is existing on the site, since it's important to how the open space and everything else will work. In photo 1, which is taken right here, it's overlooking this pond, and there's a golf green on the upper edge of it, and this area will all remain in open space. That golf cart path that's shown on the plan is actually built and in the field. We do break it at certain points to integrate it into the design. In this area, it would come into the streetscape, run along the streetscape. The next pond, which is the second one down, is located right here on the plan, and there's another golf green in here. These golf greens, obviously, because of maintenance, would be too difficult to maintain as greens, even though they make a great amenity, but we are looking at them becoming no-mow areas or limited mow areas, and so that they would be mowed maybe twice a year. They'd be kept more like in a meadow. If they most likely will produce over time volunteer plants, such as what's native to the area, eastern red cedar and so forth, that will eventually and selectively either be let to grow or cut down as we go through it. And it would add to the buffer, which is regulated and required for the wetlands. So I think what it ends up being is sort of, it'll end up becoming a more meadow walk. As we move through the site, there is a great amenity right through the wetlands, already permitted. It's a wooden bridge. It's on the next sheet, and it's photo 3 and 4, which show you going across the bridge and terminating on the other side. on the following sheet is photo 5, and we have a nice pocket of woods surrounding a golf hole that terminated up by the pool that gives us an opportunity to present some parking. All the trails would be leading to this area. There'd be a pool house, a swimming pool, and a trail that we would attempt to permit and seek permits for a crabbing pier out to the Love Creek. This this siting of this particular amenity allows everybody in the community, either through vehicular, pedestrian, or golf cart, access to a key point on the Love Creek that will invite vision, and it's really going to be celebrating the best part of the site. The photo six on that same sheet exhibits a fairly strong example of the vegetation that is adjacent to the active agricultural area, which is adjacent to us on this particular piece. We will be proposing to put in an agricultural buffer for the remainder of that site down in this area. As we get into this particular area, photo 7 and 8 show that the original farmhouse is still existing there. It is now presently being used for storage of chemicals, building supplies, and so forth. You can see on picture 8 that it is in somewhat disrepair, and it is our intention to raise the buildings. SHPO has asked us for an opportunity to document it, which I have the developer would have no problem in granting. Photo number 9 and 10 are, photo 9 is of this existing pond that's sitting here, and the photo merely is just showing how it's benched. You can see it in the photo, you can see the bench there. It's much wider than even the 10 foot that would be required, which just to get assurance that it is up to current stormwater specifications. Any areas that wouldn't be, we would be required to upgrade. Photo 10 is merely put in to show an edge treatment, because ultimately the edges of the pond are important. We have geese control considerations and so forth, so we would be looking at putting in edge aquatics and things along that line, and possibly a meadow sort of strip that went around it that would just help control with any geese that could become a problem. I've been out there. I haven't had any problem with geese that are presently out there. Photo 11 is a picture of the open space area that's on the plan. It's also a picture that demonstrates what a meadow-like view would be. In the middle of the picture, you can see right now it's golf rough, and it's tall grasses that get up just below your knee, and it does allow for a sprinkling of volunteer growth like that would be native to the area that would just come up. And that same concept would be the concept that we'd be using along the peripheral of the more sensitive areas that are by the wetlands. Photo 12, 13, and 14 merely show the roadside view of frontage of the property. You'll see that it is presently all in parking lot. Those parking lots will be removed. The clubhouse will be removed. The entrance is pretty realistically in the same location that the golf course entrance is in. We will be dressing it up with a boulevard entry. We're putting in two ponds on each side. We're going to be bringing back the more of a rural character back there by removing those parking lots from the roadside. And there will be some upgrades to the road. There was not a TIS required on this particular project, but we did meet with DelDOT, and right now the golf course has a bypass lane that will be upgraded to a left turn lane, and there'll be tapered through lanes beyond the north and south of the site. There should be no disturbance to about 4 or 5 driveways that presently use come off of that bypass lane, which are directly across from the site. And looking at it in a preliminary fashion, it looks like we're going to just join right in with where they're at. All the widening of the lanes and everything can be fit in the right-of-way that's there. In addition to that, there'll be a dedication on our side of the road of an easement for a multi-use path of 10 foot wide. That gives you a basic overview. Our plan is really calling for 139 lots. We have central water and sewer. The average lot is 8,400 square feet. The lots themselves take up about 26% of the entire parcel. The right-of-way takes up 10%. And we have on the parcel, including the wetlands, is 64% is in open space.
Part of our process in getting through Sussex County's requirements and getting within compliance of all the regulations was to go through the planning process, which includes a survey, topo, featuring any woodlands, ponds. Wetland delineation was redone, even though it was done, and there was a JD on the property back at the golf course point in time. It had expired, so we have hired Ed Linné to pick the ball up on that. He has delineated it, we have captured it, and he has written for a JD, which is currently under review with the Corps of Engineers. We've contacted Delaware Heritage, U.S. Wildlife Service for endangered or threatened species, and they have nothing of record on this particular property. We've contacted Cape Henlopen Open School for just a school bus shelter, which they do desire, and we show two on a pedestrian plan in the booklet. I don't know if we'll actually have two, but we definitely will have one on a school bus for in an appropriately located area of the plan. And we have contacted some of the utility providers who have, and the most essential one is Tidewater, who will be providing water and who will be maintaining and operating the sewer treatment plant as well as disposal. Exhibit one is just to show that we did have an environmental assessment phase one done on the property. There is no significant concerns that were brought forth on that particular item. Exhibit two is a detailed soils work for the wastewater disposal. It was done by Atlantic Resource Management, Leif Erickson and Lisa Woods. They did 69 soil borings, 29 test pits. DNREC has been out there. They field observed the test pits, which are fairly extensive examinations of the water, and they have signed off. There's a sign off from Jack Hayes in tab 5 of your booklet that concurs with the findings of the soils here. We don't have a full feasibility yet. It hydrological work is still actually being evaluated by DNREC. We have 8 wells out there that are 30 and 40 feet deep. They're doing mounding analysis. The reports are done. That's my next exhibit, and that was put into DNREC in June, and it's currently under review. We don't have their comments back, but it did demonstrate that the site was suitable for up to 146 lots that it could handle on the wastewater in this where we're proposing the fields. In your booklet on tab 2A, you have Connie Holland's letter basically indicating no objection. Tab 2B is a rendition of about 17 or 18 pages of comments and response to PLUS on the project. In tab 3, we did a development report. That's the same report that would be required for the environmental assessment as is required for the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. And we do answer the questions in more detail. I'll go briefly through. Stormwater is for quality only. We are going to use BMPs, and we are going to, where feasible, we're using existing pond systems as well. I mentioned that water was tidewater, wastewater, tidewater. Traffic, I already mentioned. The existing operations between the golf, restaurant, bar, and pro shop really reduced the proposed residential plan's traffic impact by 56%, meaning we are going to add more by 44% of what's existing out there right now. But because of the existing operation, it reduces the residential effect by 56%. Tab 7 shows improvements to the entry if we need to go through that. We did the rare and endangered species, tidal and non-tidal wetlands. No lots will be plotted in any wetland, and no lot will be plotted in any of the 50-foot setback buffer. So this 50-foot setback buffer will be entirely in open space, along with additional open space and no-mow areas. There will be, the only permitted issue I see is the crabbing pier in the wetland areas. And of course, we would take the proper channels to go through that. Open space, on the open space, I did mention we have 67 acres in open space. That makes up 64% of the site. It's we can go over the aspects of it if the commission cares to ask me questions on that, but I think we are well within the 30%. Even if you were to take out state wetlands, 404 lands or whatever, we still meet the benchmarks on where we need to be for a cluster development in an environmentally sensitive area. Our public and private infrastructure, the roads will remain private. They will be built to county specifications. Electric is Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone Verizon, cable Mediacom. Historic and cultural resources, I mentioned about the building and the demo and the notification and opportunity that would be given the state to document. Under the subdivision considerations, that's tab 3B, and we do list the 17 conditions, how we meet those, and we do plan to address each and every one, and it is more detailed. I don't want to be redundant since our development report basically reviewed them as well. Pedestrian circulation is a big part of the design on this application. It's in tab 7C. I think the easiest way to get that is go to tab 8 and go back one. And under the pedestrian circulation, I do want to point out we have about 9,000 linear feet of roadway on this project, which is, I guess, a little over a mile and a half. We have 9,500 linear feet of 4-foot wide roadside walkways. We have an additional 600 feet of DelDOT multi-use path, which will be 10-foot wide along the frontage. And we have an additional 6,000 linear feet, which is over a mile, of interior sidewalk and cart paths that meander through the project. There's plenty of opportunity for any neighbor to go jogging, walking, biking, strolling, walking with your kids, and so forth. But we didn't want to stop there because I think part of a successful community is its socialization aspect. There are some gazebos by the pond. There is a little kiddie park for under 10 years old with appropriate age equipment. We will be seeking the crabbing pier, and the community has the opportunity to go boating, kayaking, canoeing along the Love Creek and Indian River. I do believe that the plan represents a superior living environment that is environmentally sound and socially accommodating and thus meets the criteria for a cluster concept. And that is the conclusion of my presentation.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Let me just supplement one comment made by Mr. Ford, and that is in terms of the recreational amenities, I think it's important to note that there will be either kayak or canoe access to Love Creek, but there will be no motor boat access permitted to Love Creek in order to be consistent with the environmentally sensitive nature of the area. Gentlemen, I have with me again Mr. Daniels, who is one of the principals of the organizations that will be developing these properties, and Mr. Ford, and we're prepared to address any questions you may wish to present us at this time, and then I have one or two brief comments to make upon the conclusion of any interrogation.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. Mr. Johnson.
Well, first off, let me say, Mr. Ford, I appreciate the way you addressed the comments of the PLUS process. I may take exception with someone later about how they approached it, but I appreciate the thoroughness in which you did do that in terms of addressing the various issues and concerns that they may have raised. In terms, enough for patting on your back, but in terms of the sidewalks, are you planning one side, two sides?
At the very entrance, we're planning two. We have the multi-use path along the front. We have a double-sided curved closed system for that boulevard entry, which then opens to an open section beyond where the round entry cul-de-sac here is, or roundabout. And then we move to an open section and sidewalks on one side.
Okay. There's reference to a letter from the school district about a school bus stop.
Yeah.
Any plans for shelter or for parking for parents that want to drop off their kids or their grandparents?
On the pedestrian plan, I think it's tab 7 something, we're proposing either a shelter right here, which then a bus could take and come around the roundabout, or one here, and we would, and it is a gazebo sheltered type of thing. If we do end up with it out here, we'll probably end up with two gazebos anyway, because this is where we're looking for a little kiddie park, and we figure it's a nice place to parents to get out of the either weather or sun, and a place to gather.
And with the on this site plan, preliminary site plan, I saw a reference to lot 123A. About after 5 years, may be developing that, or
it's one of these lots.
One of those connector pieces.
The adjacent property here, the fella owns our property is right here. The adjacent piece we're speaking of is right here. It's separated from his land by virtue of wetlands and a gut that runs up through those woods. That is the piece Dennis was talking about. They just came under contract. We didn't have our time to do fully due diligence on it, wetlands, survey, and so forth, though we do have overlapping information that lends me to believe, and at the very last page in your booklet, we included it, that we'd be looking to come in for some type of a concept that would include 7 or 8 lots that may be able to be picked up and reasonably serviced by this development, whereas for him to do it over bridges and wetlands and everything else is not feasible.
So that's a reference.
That road was a request by DLDOT that we leave interconnectivity between units. It's left there with the idea that this wasn't ever going to happen with the fella next door, though that changed since we submitted the plan and now we're under contract.
That may be another issue before us at a later time.
So we will end up possibly putting a road in there.
And in terms of access for the canoes and rowboats or kayaks, how would they be able to launch their boats?
Well, I'm thinking most of the launching probably would occur either in some other location. They would use this to come into the pool, go off, you know, tie up for the day, and then retake it, or they got to lug it out on top of the crabbing pier to put the launch in at that point.
So there's not any intention to have a ramp of your own?
No.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
I have no questions.
Mr. Gordy?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
I guess just a comment following up with what Mr. Johnson said. Seems to me as though that crabbing pier is a little over 550 feet in length and a little over 500 feet from the parking area. That would be... I would want to shake the hand of the man that hauls a boat that far.
Might not want to shake his hand.
I can reasonably assure you, Mr. Smith, it will not be my hand.
No other questions. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Couts?
Just one question. You, on your pedestrian path drawing in tab 7, and on your preliminary plan, you show two appendage paths. I guess they're part of the existing golf cart network. They just kind of go off into nowhere. How's that supposed to work? Are they going to connect to something?
One on that side
and then one on the other side.
This path is traversable through the woods. It's not a path that I would suggest you take your bike through or a golf cart through, but it is walkable through the open space that is along that line. In fact, it's very pleasant.
Right, but if you go down one of the trails, if you take the trail to the right and you come down to the end of it, at the end of lot 116,
yes.
You just end up, turn around and go back? Is that...
Well, you know, Dick, what I envision, if I own lot 123, I know I can walk a very pleasant walk, which there's not a lot of understory in these trees, there's a lot of overstory. It's a very pleasant walk onto the trail for the beginning of this. So it was a connection actually more for these lots then really the community, where I'm looking more internally, the connections in there would occur. But if somebody's jogging, they can walk and jog through that.
So you don't intend to connect those two appendages?
No, no, because then I would end up having to... I'd have to get into the woods and make disturbances in the woods that we were trying to avoid.
That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Robertson.
Explain to me again what you're trying to ask the commission to do with regard to those seven lots.
Nothing.
Okay, because it says a little bit different in the book, and that's what I wanted to make clear on.
It is identified as a future potential expansion of this project. Okay. But as Mr. Ford has stated, the lateness of the hour of their availability did not allow for due diligence to take place, and they can't be made a part of this project.
Because there were some references, I read it, that you were asking for some type of approval. You know, or like a preliminary approval before it had been presented. I just wanted to make clear that there was nothing that was being asked for tonight with regard to it. Okay. That's all the questions I had.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick couple little loose ends I'd like to tie up. I agree with Mr. Johnson about the response to the plus. It's the first time I've seen it done that way, but by taking the particular paragraphs out of the responses from Connie Holland's organization and putting them in a different color, it allows us to analyze what the response is without going back and forth, and it does make for ease of administration when you're trying to figure out what somebody said. Again, as was pointed out by Tom, there was no negative recommendation from the Office of State Planning Coordination. The statute at Section 115-25 provides us with design requirements and review procedures, and all of those, I believe, are met by this particular project. The concept of cluster housing subdivisions, while controversial, intended developers to have the opportunity to reduce lot sizes in exchange for increased open space. And I think if there is a textbook version of what that ordinance was intended to do, this may be the textbook version, because you do wind up with a 104-acre project with approximately 66 acres in open space made up of either wetlands, marshland, or the natural vegetative and meadow states that Tom referred to, and that is the concept that you're looking for. Additionally, by way of superior design, I think if you take a look at each of the individual lots, you'll note that all of the lots in this particular project back up to open space, so that there are no rear confinements by way of looking into your neighbor's, the rear of your neighbor's house or another deck or what have you. By way of preserving those features that are currently there, it has not been noted, but I will note for you that four of the ponds will be preserved and integrated into this particular design. And lastly, in terms of the findings of fact that you're required to make under the statute, you are obligated to look at 99-9C, which gives us the 17 subdivision criteria. We've not belabored that point, but if you would draw your attention to tab 3, and much as we have done with the PLUS report, we have addressed each of those 17 criteria and defined for you or articulated how compliance has taken place. With those happy thoughts in mind, we would encourage the commission to approve this application.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-52 Underhill Properties LLC? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-52? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you might prefer to call the office in the morning.